So this morning is the second Sunday in Advent, and it's hopefully you've been enjoying the devotional, the Advent devotional that we provided. We light the second candle in the wreath today. This is the Bethlehem candle, which represents faith. The Bethlehem candle represents faith. In Christian tradition, as I said last time, the season of Advent is a season of anticipation. And we can't be certain where the tradition actually began. We know it goes back at least to the 6th century. But initially, when Advent was being observed, they didn't have the first coming of Jesus in mind. They had the second coming of Jesus in mind. They were thinking about his soon appearing. But as time went on, and as we got into the Middle Ages, they began to connect it with the first coming of Jesus as well. So both are in view. So it's a time of anticipation. Early believers and the medieval believers were anticipating the second coming of Christ in the clouds of the air at any time, and also remembering the day that he appeared in Bethlehem. And as I said, the world would never be the same again. The Advent wreath came a little bit later. First appears in Germany in the mid-1800s. A Lutheran minister was working with kids, took a wagon wheel, and basically laid it flat and put a bunch of candles all around it. There were red candles, one for each day of the week, weekdays, and then for the Lord's Day, there was a white candle. So this is how he would kind of, as a teaching tool, engage the children in this idea of expectation. We're lighting another candle today. We're getting one day closer to all of the candles being lit. Eventually, they started adding other things that were symbolic of the Christian message. Evergreens obviously speak of something that's alive in the wintertime when everything seems to die. The evergreens are still alive. The circle reminds us of God's endless, eternal love for us that has no beginning and no end. Hollies and berries were chosen later because of the color representing the blood of Jesus. And pine cones gave a picture of the resurrection and the promise of a life that continues on even after our death. During Advent, many churches of different traditions, some evangelical churches like our own, High Church, Lutherans, and different Protestants celebrate it. But as I said, it is a teaching tool to engage us about the time of the year and help us to reflect on what this season is truly all about. And it's about taking a step closer to the Lord, making more room for the Lord in our hearts. It's about contemplation. It's about thinking about how the Lord wants to change us. Where have we gone astray over this past year? Where am I missing it? Where am I focusing upon things that will never, ever, ever really make me happy, no matter what the world says? Where do I have a misplaced focus? All of these misplaced focuses that we pick up in our life usually disappear when the phone call from the doctor comes, right? All of a sudden, everything's in perspective. And all the junk that we've been accumulating, we begin to realize just how vacuous it is. It's the devil's lie. It's never made a single person happy. I'm not saying it's not wrong to have things, to enjoy things, as long as things don't have you. That's the challenge. So the candle that we light today, the Bethlehem candle, is a candle that represents faith. The candle reminds us of the journey of Mary and Joseph, believing God in some very difficult circumstances. The angel appeared to them and told them some things that were going to happen, and they were truly impossible and unbelievable. Yet in faith, they believed. Because Joseph was born in Bethlehem, he had to return for the census, story that we all know very well from the scriptures. This journey was a difficult one. Mary may have been as young as 12 years old. She was a young teenager, and to make a journey like this would have been difficult to be sure, and to be pregnant at that time in the last stages of pregnancy, well, you understand that, ladies, how difficult that would have been. They were probably too poor to have a donkey, as is usually portrayed. They probably walked that entire way. Well, they were sustained by their faith in the word of God that had been shared to them through the angel Gabriel, and they humbly obeyed God, and to them was born the one that would save us from our sins. Faith, of course, is the belief in things that we do not see, the belief in the invisible. The writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that seek him. We talked last week about the impossible things that we believe. I've even believed 6 impossible things before breakfast. We quoted that little saying from Alice in Wonderland, right? We believe a lot of impossible things. Why? Because of our faith. Our faith has given us the understanding that these things are true, even though they seem impossible. We believe that God will do everything that he promised he would do. If I don't feel like God is with me right now, I don't have to worry about that being a possibility. Why? Because I have faith that he will never leave me or forsake me, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he's with me always, even to the end of the age. Nothing will ever separate me from him. How do I know that? He said it. He said it, and my faith instructs my spirit that these things are true. Just like when the angel spoke with Joseph. Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Christmas morning, we're going to talk a little bit about Joseph and the risky faith that that man of God had and used. I mean, it cost him a lot. And yet he followed the Lord. That's what our faith does. And you know what? We're going to need faith more than ever in these days because we've got some work to do and we need to do it together. So we want to be very attentive to the work that the Lord's called us to do. Jesus said he's given us eternal life. This is this exuberant life now and this forever life later. And you know what? I believe that's true. Do you know why? Because I have faith. And my faith tells me that it's true. I believe all of these things. I believe many impossible things. And I know that they're true because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So space isn't the final frontier. Faith is the final frontier. It allows me to explore strange new worlds, mostly interior worlds, and to seek out a new life, right? And to boldly go where no one has ever gone without it. Faith brings me into a whole new room. It shows me the reality of invisible things. So, at times we stray away from the Lord, and we need to be reminded of the things that truly matter in life. And that's what Advent is all about. That's what the wreath reminds us of. It's just a teaching tool. It reminds us that, you know what, I need to have faith like Mary and Joseph had faith. So what do we need to do? We need to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And this is one of the things that we do at this time of year. Now, I want to share something with you this morning that is really exciting and absolutely terrifying. Terrifying because it's really cool to talk about things when we were talking about handing out 5,000 Bibles. Now, that sounds like an awesome thing to talk about. 5,000, we're going to hand out 5,000 Bibles on the street. But then once we made the decision and once we went before our wonderful deacons and our wonderful elders and we prayed about these things and talked about them and the ins and the outs and the downsides and the upsides and all of that stuff, and very faithfully they came back and said, we believe this is the direction that we should go. All of a sudden it's like, we got to hand out 5,000 Bibles now. Like, we bought these things. We got to hand these out to people. And yet, I think it was nothing short of miraculous, but I say this in truth before God, that we were able to do this from Palm Sunday to September. And I mean, on average, sometimes we would go out, there were a couple of times Mary and I went out, and it was just Lindsay and Dakota one time, right? Never more than really 10, 12 people, something like this, and I get it. I know there's a temperamental thing about this. There are some people that the idea of standing on the street and handing out Bibles is terrifying. They don't have the temperament for it. What we want to talk about, though, is something that I think we can all be a part of. And I think it's really important that we keep the momentum up because I hate to sound like a broken record, but we don't have time to play games with the Lord. And so here's how I feel, okay? I'm just going to share my heart with you for a moment. Now, you come to Harvest Community Church. You're a part of this church family. You're a part of this body. The Lord set us in this city to take care of this city. And I believe that we are going to stand before the Lord, and I believe we're going to be accountable for what we did with the responsibility that we had. We had been given much. We have people who are filled with the Holy Spirit here, filled with wisdom, want to serve the Lord, want to work for the Lord, want to share the gospel. What did we do with the opportunities that were before us? And I think we're going to answer for that. And the Bible says the teacher will have the greater judgment. I think the pastors and I think the deacons will have a greater accountability before God in this respect. And so everything we try to do in this church, we try to lead by example. We don't say, listen, we need you to get out there on the streets. We're on the streets and we say, come with us. Because we need to understand that we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account, not only for our lives and what we've done and this contemplation we're talking about and drawing nearer to the Lord, but what did you do in the war, Daddy? What did you do for the kingdom, believer? What did you do with the knowledge you had and the resources that you had living in the richest country in the world with all of its problems, with more freedom than any other country in the world? What did you do with those opportunities? Well, I think it's important to keep the momentum up from what we did last time. And we went back. We actually had a false start on one idea, thought it was a great idea, started to think about it. There were some things that didn't ring true. One of our deacons, Deacon Bob, brought up a couple of things, really got me thinking, made a lot of sense. And this is the way we do it. We want the Lord's plan for our church, not ours. And so we do this together. And then this came later, as I just began looking at different options that we have. So I'm going to share something with you this morning, and it seems like an impossible thing. 5,000 Bibles, I'm just going to tell you, was a drop in the bucket compared to what we're going to consider here this morning. It's a different thing, but it keeps up the momentum. I'm calling it Get the Word Out 2.0. And it's going to keep up the momentum of the idea of getting the gospel, because do you know what I want to do? Listen, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to be able to do. Here's what I want you to be able to do when you stand before the Lord and we give an account for what we did with the gifts that were given to us to invest into the kingdom. I want to be able to say, Lord, you put me in Woonsocket and I did honestly the best that I could to get the gospel to every single household in the city. And that's what we're going to attempt to do with this vision. But before we do, we need to watch movies. So let's watch this. Settle in. These are some clips from a film that I'm going to talk to you about when we come back. But just settle in, and it's all going to make sense why you needed to see them, okay?
Once there were two men who went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood apart by himself and prayed, I thank you, God, that I am not greedy or dishonest or an adulterer like everybody else. I thank you that I am not like that tax collector over there. I fast twice a week, and I give you one-tenth of all my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and would not even raise his face to heaven, but beat upon his breast and said, God, have pity on me, a sinner. I tell you, the tax collector, not the Pharisee, was in the right with God when he went home. For the man who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Push the boat out further to the deep water. Then you and your partners let down your nets for a catch.
Oh, Master, we worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets.
James! John!
Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.
Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.
Jesus!
Jesus! Please, I beg you to save my only daughter. Sir, have mercy. She's only 12 years old and dying. Please, please come with me.
Iris, I'm sorry.
Jesus!
Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher any longer.
Don't be afraid. Only believe and she will be well. Sleeping. Child, arrive. Something to eat. I charge you. Tell no one what has happened here.
This Pharisee invited Jesus to have dinner with him, and Jesus went to his house and sat down to eat.
Come along, children. Off you go. You heard me. Go.
Just enough to all the mischief going, but good, son.
Money to a moneylender. One owed him 500 silver coins, the other 50. Neither of them can pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Which one then will love him more?
I suppose that it would be the one who was forgiven more.
You are right. You see this woman? I came into your home. You gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You did not welcome me with a kiss. Since I came, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You provided no olive oil for my head. But she has anointed my feet with perfume. I tell you then, the great love she has shown proves that her many sins are forgiven. But whoever is forgiven little shows only a little love. Your sins are forgiven you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.
And they sailed on over to Gadara, which is across the lake from Galilee.
son of the Most High God. What do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me.
What is your name?
Legion. Lord, we beg you, do not send us into the abyss. Let us enter into the herd of swine.
Hey! Come back!
Stop! Stop!
And the demons went out of the man and into the pigs.
Go away from here! You, magician, leave us! Go away from this place! Leave us! Go away from here!
I'll follow you wherever you go. Let me come with you.
Go back home and tell what God has done for you. Woman, you are free from your sickness.
We should work. So come on one of those days to be healed, but not on the Sabbath.
You hypocrites! Any one of you would untie his ox or his donkey and take it out from the stall to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham whom Satan has kept in bonds these 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?
What should we do?
What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself.
You're right. Do this and you'll live.
Who is my neighbor?
Not those soldiers.
Yes. What about Caesar?
There was once a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him. Stripped him, beat him, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest came that way. When he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came there, went over and looked at the man, and then walked by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling on that road came across the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to the man, poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put him on his own animal and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day he gave the innkeeper 2 silver coins, and he told him to look after the man. And when I come back, he said, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him. Which one of these 3 acted like a neighbor towards the man who was attacked by the robbers?
The one who was kind to him.
You then do the same. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is least among you all is the greatest.
Come, come, let's get down.
What's happening? What's going on?
Jesus of Nazareth. He's passing by.
Jesus! Oh, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me!
What do you want me to do for you?
I want to see again.
Then see. Your faith has made you well.
I can see. I can see. I can see.
Listen. We are going to Jerusalem, where everything the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and treat him shamefully and spit upon him. He will be whipped and killed. But on the third day, he will rise.
For me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For if such things as these take place when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
We will pray for you.
It was now about the sixth hour, and a darkness came over all the land until the ninth hour. The temple was torn right down the middle.
Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon.
We didn't recognize him. Not on the road.
But when he broke bread, then we knew.
At Emmaus. How strange he should go there.
Oh.
Peace be with you. Why are you troubled? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Feel me and you will know. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see I have. These are the very things I spoke to you about while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms had to come true. This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And in his name, the message of repentance and of forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And I myself bring the promise of my Father upon you. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. Bless you and keep you.
All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
In the Holy Scriptures, God declared the Messiah would come to be the Savior of the world. The life of Jesus gives evidence that he is indeed the one the prophets spoke about. Isaiah prophesied that the virgin will conceive a child and will give birth to a son. Centuries later, the birth of Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. The Holy Scriptures declared that the Holy One to be born would be called the Son of God. This means that Jesus was to be called the Son of God in a spiritual sense. We see this in how he lived his life. He healed people from disease, forgave their sins, turned them back to God, and promised them a place in God's eternal kingdom. He offered himself as a sacrifice for sin in their place, and then rose again, conquering death. Jesus said, "No one can take my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." The life of Jesus not only fulfilled the writings of the prophets, but also confirmed the truth of God's holy word. The prophets declared, "The word of the Lord is flawless. Your word, O Lord, is eternal." Jesus himself said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Jesus came to give us life in all its fullness. But when man disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, he chose to go his own way, and his actions separated him from the Creator. The Holy Scriptures declare that all have sinned, and the payment for sin is death. This means a spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But just as God provided a ram to die in place of Abraham's son, so he sent Jesus the Messiah to die in our place. His life, death, and resurrection restored the relationship between God and all those who put their trust in him. Now those who follow Jesus not only have their sins forgiven, but are saved from God's eternal judgment. They are assured of paradise and will live with him forever. It is this life and freedom from the guilt and power of sin that Jesus offers each person today. This does not mean following a religion, but choosing to have faith in Jesus, who says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him." This means turning to God and trusting Jesus to come into our lives, to forgive our sins, and to make us what he wants us to be. It is not enough to intellectually agree with his claims, nor to have an emotional experience. We receive him by grace through faith, as an act of the will. When people are ready to become followers of Jesus the Messiah, they may speak to him in a simple prayer. Perhaps you are ready now to open your life to God. If so, you may join in the following prayer to him, silently, in your heart. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess and repent of my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. As I become one of your followers. Amen. Jesus said about his followers, "My sheep recognize my voice. I know them, and they follow me." In order to experience the abundant life which Jesus promised, his followers talk to God each day in prayer and read or listen to his word. They tell others about him and meet regularly with those who love and follow him. Remember his wonderful promise. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.
This film that you just watched, the clips that I chose from the film, is from a film called The Jesus Film. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen this. This has been translated into, I mean, it's a crazy number. Maybe that's not the number, but this was my copy on VHS that Mary and I and Allison and Amy used in Greece when we were missionaries in Greece. And in every language, it's available. So anyway, we started to think about, well, how can we get to the next stage of get the word out? And this is what I want to share with you this morning. First of all, we handed out 5,000 New Testaments, the written word. And that is a wonderful thing, and very pleased that the Lord allowed us to do that. But we're living in a very visual age. And the truth of the matter is, as important as the Word of God is, it's of supreme importance. There are many people that don't read like they used to read. And so we tried to have an introduction to the Bible, to do everything we could to entice folks to kind of take a look at the Scriptures. But the truth of the matter is, this is a very visual time that we're living in. And this is where the Jesus film comes in. We have an opportunity to share the gospel in other ways other than just the written word. YouTube, just for example, has 2 billion users. There's only 8 billion people on the planet. And there are 2 billion users, subscribers, who access that channel. Furthermore, more than 1 billion hours of YouTube content is consumed every single day. 1 billion hours daily. Besides that, in the United States, YouTube boasts more than 122 million daily viewers. There's only 332 million people in the country. That's a third of the country. So what does this mean? It means for better or for worse, we've become a video-oriented visual country, right? World, really. The Jesus film has been called the most accurate portrayal of the life of Christ because every word that is in the movie is drawn from the Gospel of Luke. Some parts of it, like that last part, comes from the Gospel of Matthew. But they try to just use the scriptures, which is difficult because we know that the Gospels have some fragmented things. But the idea here is that Get the Word Out 2.0 is basically going to attempt to do what we did with the written word in a visual way. Now, as I said, we handed out 5,000 New Testaments on the street. Some folks would come by and say, I already got one. Some folks had more than one, right? And to get a Bible, you had to drive by. You had to drive by at the time that we were there. Some folks were from Woonsocket, some folks were from North Smithfield, some folks were from Cumberland, wherever, driving through, and they got Bibles. This new project has a little bit of a different focus. Woonsocket is a city of 43,000 people, 43,118 people. That makes up 17,654 households, okay? Almost 18,000 households or families, or even if it's a single person, households. It cost us about $7,000 to get those Bibles out earlier this year because we paid $1.25 per Bible, and then we had the printing costs. And Mary Ellen and Deacon John donated the stickers that went on the inside. So it was about $7,000, we figure, went toward that project. Let's just be honest for a moment. If we were going to try to get a video of the Jesus film with that gospel invitation that you just saw at the end into every household in Woonsocket, and we only paid $1 per disc, it would cost us about $18,000, right? So we're rich in a lot of things in this church. One of them is not money. That's a lot of money. So we're thinking about that, but yet the idea is we really would like to impact every single home in our city. I'd love to stand before the Lord someday and say we did our best to get the gospel into every single household in the city that you put us. Now, this seems like an impossible situation, and it is. Good thing we're in the season of impossible things. Watch this.
As the world changes in an era of crisis, families throughout America are experiencing instability, fear, and great loss. But while many are searching for answers in places of desperation, the position and mission of the church has never been more clear. It's time for us to leave the buildings and saturate the streets with compassionate outreach, redemptive hope, and the love of Jesus. Saturate USA is a movement of churches and believers across America, one unifying movement to reach every zip code, every neighborhood, and every home with the love of the gospel. Churches can join the Saturate USA movement by adopting a zip code and receiving free neighborhood maps, door hanger bags, and evangelistic materials, including Jesus Film DVDs with free online streaming. Assembling saturation packs is easy and fun.
We saw families working together.
We have a Spanish church and an English church that have come together.
3-2-2-0-6. Churches simply mobilize volunteers and pack free gospel materials.
We got the teamwork that makes the dream work.
Including their own church's local information. Each church can be as creative as they like with their packs, personalizing them so their neighbors will know who loved them enough to reach out and connect. Then plan the neighborhood outreaches and go out as teams or individuals to distribute to homes.
We're just out passing out some flyers. We've got a new church right down there, right down the street.
One person can saturate about 50 homes in just 1 hour.
Just handing out some packages to just share the love of the Lord. And I wanted to share it with you. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am. It's time for the true church to get outside the four walls. People are hungry out here, man. Only in Jesus we can be set free.
Now more than ever, our nation is in severe distress and crisis. And people are hurting deeply. Let's come together in every city throughout America, perfected in unity, so that the world will know the love of the Savior.
So here's the idea. If we will adopt a zip code, I'm thinking 02895, just picked it out of a hat, and if we will agree to hang a gospel packet on every door in that zip code, they will provide all of the materials, including the DVDs, for free. The only thing that we would be responsible for is like an introduction card or something from our church letting them know that we're here for them, that we're praying for them, and if there's anything that we can do for them, we're available. The video that we would be giving them, you saw that little DVD, it not only includes the Jesus film, but it also includes a film which is called The Story of Jesus Through the Eyes of Children. You've worked with this before, Lori, because I know we did something last year and you used it. It's basically an edited version of this with intercut scenes of children who were living during the time of Jesus talking about the things that Jesus had done. And it offers the gospel invitation through the mouth of a child. They explain how you can be saved. And there's a third film as well called The Magdalena Film. And in it, there's an actress portraying Mary Magdalene. And she's talking about different women who were basically outcasted in the time of Jesus. These are all from stories from the gospel. And again, there are intercuts there that shows how the Lord reached even in that time when women couldn't even give testimony in court. Yet the gospel reached for women as well and brought them out from being ostracized and separated from the community. All three of these films, with an altar call at the end of each film, is on that one DVD. So they would be able to watch any or all of them. And if they have children, in the introductory letter that we would bring to them, we would explain, if you have children, watch this movie with them because it's on their level. We'll explain to them what they're actually holding in their hands. Now, one of the problems that we had when we went out on the streets is that people would come, and some people spoke Spanish, some people spoke Cambodian, some people spoke Vietnamese and other languages that are represented in our city. This eliminates that problem because there are 8 different audio soundtracks that are on the DVD. It's in English, Spanish, French, Arabic, Mandarin, Hindi, Urdu, and Vietnamese, plus there are subtitles in Russian and in Turkish. Furthermore, if the language that they speak is not presented on the disc, every packet has free access to the app. You can download this yourself. We'll talk about it at a later time. But there's an app where you can watch for free all of the Jesus films, and all of the language options are available through the website. Far more options than are available just on the disc. So they would be getting in this packet, this door hanger, they would get a door hanger that would have the DVD, a letter from the church saying, hey, we love you, if we can pray for you. Example, out of a job, we'll pray for you. Is there sickness in your family? We'll pray for you. Are you having difficulties at home? We'll pray for you. Are you filled with anxiety and fear? We'll pray for you. If you're feeling empty and lonely, we'll pray for you. Whatever your need is, we will confidently pray for you. And give people an outreach to say, hey, listen, there are people in the city who care. Now, there may be folks who would never read, as important as the Word of God is, they would never read it just because we're in that era where if it takes more than 5 seconds to read a meme, it's just not worth their time. There are so many images flashing all the time. But they love movies. They love stories. And so this is an opportunity to reach somebody with the gospel in a way that we may not be able to do in the day in which we're living with the written word. Now, we need a whole lot of these things. So we need a lot of help. What this means is we're going to ask everybody to be a part of this in some way. Now, folks, listen, honestly, I'm just going to be really honest here. There are some folks that, for whatever reason, didn't feel comfortable joining us on the streets. And I, like I said, I get it. Temperamentally, standing on a corner, car stopping, handing out a Bible, I get it. It's not for everybody. But honestly, brothers, sisters, anybody can put a door hanger on someone's doorknob. Anybody can do that. If you're physically able. And what I think of in my mind is, and I'm not trying to, I don't want to be offensive, but If you believe that the message that's in this little plastic bag can save somebody's life in these last days, can bring them to the Lord Jesus, millions of decisions have been made through the altar call in this film. They're shown in the bush using solar power because there's no electricity. They show this film and many, many people make a decision to come to the Lord Jesus. Here's what I'm thinking. If I won't hang a plastic door hanger on someone's door that might save their life, what will I do for Jesus? What will I do for Jesus? I mean, I'm just being honest with you here. Because it's one thing to say, yes, Pastor, we love this idea, but we don't need a cheering squad. We need help. We need workers because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. They were few in the days of Jesus, and they're still few today. I want to be able to stand before the Lord Jesus, and I want to say, Lord, we did everything we could to hit every household. Now, to me, this is a miracle because we wouldn't have the money to do this. We couldn't afford all of these. We would need somebody to come and drop $20,000, and they cost more than a dollar each. But even at a dollar each, we don't have those kinds of resources. But somebody does, and somebody put this together, and so we adopted the zip code. We own 02895. And every person in our city will have the opportunity, with the Lord's help, to get the Jesus film that they can watch in their language, a connection with a spiritual family that will care for them, that will pray for them, that will work with them, any questions that they have about the gospel. And one other thing, we're going to have to create our own sheets. So one thing we will be responsible for producing is a card of some kind that introduces our church and promises to pray and be available for them, however we decide to do that. And I think we'd do that together like we did with the other sheets that we did. But here's the thing. These things cost money. Whatever we end up producing, we're going to need 17,000 of them. That's not nothing. So it's going to cost something. So I went through the process of getting us approved to be the church that could own this zip code. And there's a little bit of a process to that. Then we started to think everything through, and like the elders were blown away. Then we brought it to the deacons. But the one question that we had hanging is the money to do all this printing. We don't know what it's going to cost, but I'm sure it's, as I said, not nothing. So I get a call on a Tuesday, and it's a call from Saturate USA, and they said, listen, we have looked at your website. We approve your church. If you want to adopt 02895, you can have it. We'll give you the maps. And when you finish a certain part of the city, you need to let us know that's done. So we know that that area has been reached with the gospel. Okay. So we're doing it, but then there's still a faith component because, as I said, we're not a rich church. We know this. And we don't know what it's going to cost to print 17,000 of anything. And so I get a call from a guy who used to come to the church. He's still a dear friend, and he'll drop over every now and then. He said, hey, you got some time for coffee? I said, sure, come on by. So we came by the house. He used to come to Harvest, then he moved away a little bit. So we were drinking some Sumatra, this blend from Jesus. Jesus made this coffee for us, and he doesn't make that kind of good coffee for you, but he makes it for me, and I don't know why, but he likes me. And so this Jesus juice, as I call it, really had us in a great place. I mean, it was so wonderful. And the fellowship was good, too. Not as good as the coffee, but the fellowship was really sweet. So we chatted about what was happening in his life, and about an hour went by. And then he said, all right, I got to get out of here. I got to get back to work. And he said, oh, by the way, this is for the church. Open it up. And he gave me a check for $10,000. $10,000. So I was able to go to the elders and the deacons the next Sunday and say, you know what? Do you know what I think this is, honestly? I think this is Jesus doing the impossible for us in the season of impossible things. That's what I think it is. So here's my appeal, and we're going to end here because I know that we're a little bit over and we're going to partake of the Lord's table. I probably created more questions than answers for you this morning because there are so many moving parts to this. We're going to begin having meetings. Now, it's going to take us a little while before we can get all of this material. It's not going to be here until tomorrow. So the first thing that we need from you is we have 1,400 pounds of materials being delivered on a pallet tomorrow between noon and 4. If your legs work, if you're available and you can help us in any way, we need to unload this pallet and we need to get that stuff somewhere. After that, we need to start talking about putting together this flyer. We need to talk about assembling these packets. And as soon as the weather breaks, and we may even have some Indian summers this winter, we want to start hitting the streets and just walking the streets in pairs, families together. And there are some concerns there, and we're going to address all of those. But the point is, we want to hit the streets and start saturating the city of Woonsocket with the gospel. We don't have any time to mess around. So we want to make use of all the time that we do have. Amen? If you can help us tomorrow, I'll be here from noon on. They can't give us an exact time. So it's going to be sometime between 1 and 4. But if you want to come up and give me your phone number, they're supposed to call me when they're 1 hour out. And I can make the calls and call anybody who can help and say, hey, they're going to be here in an hour if you're able to help, okay? But what I really want you to pray about in closing as we prepare for the Lord's table here is, what will your part be in this? Now, if you're not physically able to help, we have those things that need to be stuffed. We're going to do that as a team too. We're going to pray over every packet that goes out. But we need everybody on the field, nobody in the stands. This is not an observation sport. Evangelism is the responsibility of every single believer. We know the need, and we have a direction forward. We just have to do the work. Amen? I'm also looking at working with other churches that may want to adopt a certain part of the city. Like they talked about partnering with Spanish churches. I'm going to get in touch with some other pastors and say, if you guys want to take some of these parts of the zip code, here's how we're doing it. You can bring it before your church and we can work together and get this out into the entire city. We're not going to do this in 1 year. I think it's going to be a multi-year project, but who knows? The thing is, we all need to be on board. So would you please pray about your part in the ministry? Pray about how you can personally. The cool thing about this is where we were handing out Bibles on a Sunday after church so we could kind of all be together. This you can really take and say, I'm going to do this street sometime during the week. And you and somebody else can walk that street and do it at your leisure whenever works for you. And together we can get this done. You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And this is the way we're going to do it. Amen? All right, so are you excited about this? Please pray that the Lord would open the hearts of people in our city. I want us to, as I said, be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, we did everything we could. We really did everything we could to get the gospel into every household.